Well, I wonder, have you ever heard of a life coach? Well, I can't get any responses from you. You're all on mute, but I bet most of you have heard of life coaches. It's a resource for people who desire to be successful, and they get people to help them in different categories of life. Now, life coaches help people identify their weaknesses and their strong suits, set and achieve goals, assist with lifestyle changes, and provide encouragement along the way so you can become the best version of yourself. They help people to discover how they can use their abilities to unleash their potential and make positive changes in their life. Also, they are masters at habit changing, getting people to change bad habits to good habits. That's important in our times, isn't it? So a life coach generally is passionate about inspiring others, so they will make the changes necessary to be successful, pushing them to reach their full potential and create success in their lives. And you easily see life coaches in the fields of business, sports, health matters, marriages, all aspects of life. Tim, my oldest son, has a business coach that has helped him become very successful in his company. And his wife, Tristan, has an exercise coach that helps her participate in Ironman competitions. And she recently completed a full Ironman, which is phenomenal. Well, tonight and for next Wednesday and Thursday, you will have the good fortune to learn from not just a life coach, but a spiritual life coach. For these next three fellowships, I will be your spiritual life coach, helping you become the best you can be as a son of God with Christ within. I've been helping people as a spiritual life coach for over 50 years, and I'm looking forward to working with all of you. And by the way, if you have any questions as we move through the week, you're welcome to email me at rlinfelt@aol.com. I know with the short time we're on, we're only going to be scratching the surface on ways for you to be your best for God, but I trust it will be enough to energize you to successfully continue in your unique godly calling. And I can only impart information. I can encourage you to do your godly best, but it's up to you to recognize your potential, renew your mind so you can manifest the greatness of who you are in Christ. What a privilege we all have to contain the incorruptible seed of Christ within, right? And to be filled with the fullness of the gift of Holy Spirit with all nine manifestations. Well, before you move forward in any endeavor, you must know who you are and what you have. And that's what we're going to work on tonight. Then, and this will be Wednesday, we will work on the skills and abilities needed to exercise your potential into success. And then Thursday, we will investigate recognizing our individual calling. We all have different callings within the body of Christ to help you recognize what yours is. And then we'll look at what the future holds for all of us. Okay, so let's jump right in. And we're going to 1 John chapter 3. And let's discover who we really are and what we have as a result of who we are in Christ. So in 1 John chapter 3, and I'm going to quote from the ESV translation here. And we're going to look at verse 1 and the first part of verse 2 in chapter 3 of 1 John. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Verse 2, beloved, we are God's children now. The rest of the verse, maybe we'll look at Thursday, okay? But we are sons of God now. And if we are a son, then obviously we are children of God. And also, obviously, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8. We're going to go back to the King James Version as I quote this verse for you. And it will be verse 16 in Romans 8. The great section in the Bible. You know, I'm going to have a side note here. Romans 8 is just power-packed. Romans 5 through 8. When we were doing the Agape Now Saturday morning, I was talking to a young man, and he said he was a Buddhist, but he said he started as a Christian. And by the time we left talking, I think he was more Christian than Buddhist. And I shared this Sunday with the folks, and but one thing I encouraged him to do, and I said, you got a Bible at home? He said, yeah. So I want you to go home and I want you to read, because he really didn't know where to go in the Bible. He didn't really understand how the Old Testament and the New Testament and how they're put together and who it's addressed to. And so I encouraged him to read Romans chapter 5 through 8. And it's just full of great truth and reality. And then I also encourage him to read Ephesians. And those are just two great sources to see God's love and all that he's done for us and who we are. Okay, did we read this yet? I got off on a tangent. Verse 16, Romans 8, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, what? That we are the children of God. And you know, when you speak in tongues, your spirit is bearing witness, right, with you, that you are a child of God. In verse 17, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. I mean, that puts us up in a very high level, doesn't it? So these are who we are. We're sons of God. We're children of God. We're heirs of God. We're joint heirs with Christ. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Our birth into the family of God was VST. This is not just something that the Bible says or some paperwork, some obscure man said. But it's what the Word of God says, and it says it's by seed. Let's see what kind of seed. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth how long? Forever. See, we're born with this incorruptible seed. That's why it's forever. No matter what happens to us, if we fall asleep, die, Christ comes, it's incorruptible. We have that inheritance. We are born of incorruptible seed. Okay, Acts 2, 38. Let's go to Acts 2, verse 38. The reality of what it is inside of us is called the gift of Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus Christ talked about the Comforter, the Encourager that would come, and it was the gift of Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of Holy Spirit. So there it is. That's the early church. Peter gave that great sermon, Day of Pentecost, and they were all excited. What are we supposed to do? And his response was this verse 38, and that they would receive the gift of Holy Spirit. So we have the gift of Holy Spirit. God is Holy Spirit, right? And he gives what he is, and he has given us Holy Spirit. Now, what's really important for us, as we learn who we are, what we have, we must get into the habit that you now are not a natural man. Oh, yeah, I'm a natural man. I hurt when I squeeze my body or somebody hits me or what? No. What are you? You're a spiritual person. Now, if you can be a natural man, okay, but first and foremost, now you're a spiritual person. We've got to get into the habit. Habit is the key here, that we confess that we are a spiritual person, that we are sons of God, that we're born of incorruptible seed. That's what we need to do. You have a whole new life in Christ to live now. We heard that in the manifestations, that God wanted us to live it now. I thought that was cool. Say that over and over again. You know, every successful athletic team practiced their plays over and over again, hundreds of times, repetition. It's not like they make up a play and then they go out for the game and run that play. No, they have practiced it over and over. They've got the habit down of exactly what every person needs to do on that particular play. Basketball players, they practice shooting the same shot. Depending on what position they play, they know they're going to have certain shots on the floor that they'll have opportunity to shoot. So what do? They practice it once and they're done? No. They shoot that shot at practice thousands of times, literally. By repetition, you force the spiritual reality over the worldly old man. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2. Again, see what God's word says about who you really are. We're not done. There's some more here. And the more we see this and repeat it in our hearts and minds and confess it, the more it will become real for us. This 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it's a gem. But you are a chosen generation. And I'm going to share some notes with you as we work this verse here. But you are a chosen generation. The word generation is a race. We're a chosen race. We are a special race before God. We're in his race. And then it goes on to say, a royal priesthood. Now, the word royal in the Greek, the word means belonging to a king, which fits, right? Royal. We belong to a king. Priesthood is a body of priests. They are special spiritual people. Well, we're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And the word peculiar, I think, kind of is misleading from what the Greek word is. But what that word means in the Greek is people of acquisition. We've been acquired by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the kind of people we have been bought. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, bought us. Again, it wasn't some freebie or somebody said this would be nice. No, it took a price paid by the Son of God, his shed blood, for us to be bought, to be able to belong forever to the Father, Heavenly Father. And then it goes on to say that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This tells us what to do. What are we to do? Show forth the praises of him. Man, we should be talking about God all the time. I love it. Al Segovia's, every time I talk to him, he's won somebody else to the Lord. He's witnesses. He shares where he works. There's thousands of people there, I guess. And God opens the door for him. He's always speaking the wonderful word of God. Well, let's go to Ephesians 2:10. This is a great verse here. I'm going to share from the International Standard Version, ISV, because it translates this one word, I think, a little better than the other translations. So Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece, is what this version says. I know a lot of the other ones calls that we are God's workmanship. But the poema, the Greek word, is a little more important than just some old job that's done. It's a special job. We are God's masterpiece. Well, it makes sense as you read on. Created in the Messiah Jesus to perform good actions that God prepared long ago to be our way of life. I know that's kind of a little different, but I think it goes right along with the other translations that we are prepared. God set this up for us that we can live a wonderful lifestyle. And again, as we recognize who we are, we want to walk out on that for sure. So our challenge is to form a habit of saying who we are. Sons of God. Birthed by incorruptible seed, filled with Holy Spirit and Christ within, a chosen race belonging to a king and a body of priests, a people bought by the blood of Jesus to show praises of him. Well, the next question is, and we're going to get into it Wednesday, is how do we act now? How do we perform? What do we do now? And just to get things started, I'm going to share a verse to close out, but we're going to get into this next Wednesday. But 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know, every man that's received this gift of Holy Spirit, we're born again, we've got this. So what do? We minister the same that we have within. We use the Spirit of God that we have within to who? One another. We minister, we bless each other, we help each other. We're especially kind to the household of faith. As what? Good stewards. A steward is trained and he's faithful. He does the job he's called to do. And we're stewards of what? The manifold grace of God. The word manifold means varied or many aspects to it. I know in engineering you have a manifold. And it has different entry ports and exit ports on that piece of equipment because things are moving all over the place. But this grace of God is so varied. It so goes all over the place, I guess is the best way I can describe it. It's so full and rich, God's grace, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit to get us warmed up for Wednesday. But let's get into the habit of confessing who we are first and foremost, that we're sons of God, okay? So as your spiritual life coach, you have seen really who you are. So I want you to eat, sleep, walk, and talk like it, now and forever. All right? All right. God bless you. Thank you, Father, for the greatness of who we are in Christ, that we could really hone in on our spiritual nature, much bigger, much more so than our physical nature. Thank you, Father, for making it all available through your Son, and that we can renew our minds, that we can form habits of being spiritual men and women, working for you, doing what you've called us to do in the body of Christ. So I pray for your people tonight and all the wonderful saints that have called in, and that they can just be so enriched with your love, as we heard in the manifestations, and so full of understanding of who they are in Christ. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm.